Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
But what I want to talk to you about this morning is about outcomes. Outcomes. And we're in a transformation series, and today's title of this message is Transforming Your Outcomes. Transforming Your Outcomes. And I'm going to read from Galatians, letter to the Galatians from the Apostle Paul. And it's in chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 4 through 10. It starts off like this. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. I mean, we could stop right there. That would bless your life. If only you would stop comparing yourself to someone else. Amen. Then maybe you'd have a little bit more contentment and a little bit more gratitude in what it is that God has allowed you to have in your life and what it is that you see in your life and what it is that you're doing with your life. Amen? But how many of you know contentment can leak away when you see someone else's car, someone else's house, someone else's clothes? Are you with me? Some of you, maybe you lose your contentment, men, when you look at me. And you compare yourself to this. Huh? Maybe sometimes you'll start losing contentment and thinking, man, why can't I look like that? All right, slow down. But we have to make sure that we focus on our own work, on our own self, on what it is that God wants us to do. Then he says this. He says, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. It ain't no one else's fault that you turned out the way that you turned out. It ain't no one else's fault that you didn't make it into that place. It ain't no one else's fault that you didn't get to where it is that you thought that you should be. We have to look at our own conduct because our outcomes are dependent upon our inputs. Then he says this. He says, I like this bit. This is in this portion of scripture. I never put this in, but I like it. It says, those who are taught the word of God, you, should provide for their teachers, me. Sharing all good things with them. Notice he says sharing all good things with them, not just all problems with them. Amen. People want to share things with me all the time. Every single day they want to share something with me. It's normally a problem, a situation. That's cool. That's okay. Then he says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. This is key. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, playing now, we'll pay later. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, or in another translation, it says in due season. How many of you believe that there's a due season coming for you? There's a just the right time coming for you. Come on now. Just the right time for that right door to open up so that you can go through that right door into that right place. Just the right time for that special someone to come walking into your atmosphere and your orbit, and your eyes will meet across a crowded altar space, and you will see the man of your dreams with his hands lifted up praising the living God, or you will see Miss Right, not Mistake, right there, the one that you are going to spend the rest of your life with. Come on, somebody. At just the right time. You're going to reap a harvest. At just the right time, we reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You know how many people I know that have quit just before they get the blessing? They give up just before they get blessed up. Come on now. They quit just before God comes in and their life's about to change. It happens time and time and time again. Then he says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. This is key. This is about investment, especially to those in the family of faith. So I want to look at transforming our outcomes. That might seem a funny title, but how many of you know our outcomes are very important? You're living in an outcome right now. You're living in an outcome. What is an outcome? We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at what is an outcome, how can outcomes affect our lives, and what can you do importantly to change them. So what is an outcome? An outcome can be described as the way a thing turns out. That is your outcome. It means a consequence. It means the result of an action. Every single one of you in this place right now is living in the outcome of something or somewhere or somehow, something that you did or said or didn't do or didn't say at some time in the past. How many of you know what I'm talking about? For me and Tommy, we lived in an outcome eventually of bad decisions we made to start going down drug routes, to get involved in crime, to get involved in the dark side of life. And the outcome of that was that we lived in a life of fear. We lived in a life of destruction. We saw people around us die. We lost years of our lives to incarceration and addiction. And it was an outcome. And we couldn't look around and blame anyone else because we're all responsible for our own conduct, remember. So there are outcomes. You might be single right now, and it might be an outcome. You might be married right now, and it might be an outcome. You might be in this job, this career, this path, and it's an outcome. But are you in the outcome that you always dreamed of? Are you in the place that you've always wanted to be in? That's an outcome. There are many things taking place in our lives that are the results or the consequences of our previous actions. The key question that we have to ask is, what do I really want? There's a lot of people that they're in an outcome right now. They're in a result or a consequence of something that they have done or haven't done in the past. And it's almost like they've come about to this place by accident. And the reason why you're in an outcome by accident is because of the way that you lived accidentally and not intentionally. Because there's lots of people that you say to them, how come you've ended up here? Well, I don't know. Where did you want to be? Well, I don't know. Well, that's why you've ended up here. Are you with me? It's like, you know, where do you want to go? I don't know. Someone came up to me once and said, Pastor, can you give me some directions? Can you give me direction? I said, where do you want to go? He said, I don't know. I said, well, anyway, we'll take you there. You don't need my directions. I can tell you whatever. If you don't know where you're going, I can't give you directions. It's like me sitting down in my car, looking at me sat-nav, going, well, go on, then tell me where I need to go. That's not how it works. You have to put in the destination. You have to be intentional about it. Are you with me? But do you really know what it is that you want? When you know what it is that you want, it's called an aim. You have an aim. And then from your aims, you set your goals. Whether they're intentional or accidental, everyone ends up somewhere. Everyone ends up hitting a target, whether it be the target that you want or not. Are you with me? Huh? Sometimes we don't realize that our aims are not godly aims. Some people want to be rich for its own sake. Some people want to be famous. We live in a world of celebrity right now, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm saying this out now, even on the internet. I would never be on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. For two reasons. Number one, I'm not a celebrity. So no one's going to ask me. But number two, I don't want to get on there and everyone see my business. I'll be honest with you. I don't want people to see me taking a shower in me budgies. I don't want to be eating grubs and things just so that people can be sitting down in their couches eating chicken, watching me eat a caterpillar and getting entertained by it. I don't want that. But we live in a world today where everyone wants to be a celebrity. You only got to look at Insta, Flap, Chap, Slapback, Facebook, Gram, wherever there are. Are you with me? And they're coming up with new ones all the time. Periscope and, you know what I mean? Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. Why is everyone does that stuff? Even men do it. Stop it. Huh? But people want to be celebrities. Right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? Help me out right now. Am I right or wrong? Huh? Because some people's aims are not godly. They want to be rich. They want to be known. It's like they don't care what they're known for. Look at the people that go on the X Factor that sound like wolves. Huh? They go on there like, man, shut up. What's the matter with you? Are you with me? They're like, even Simon's got his head in his hands going, what is all this? I don't believe it. This is the worst audition. But people do it. And their aims are not necessarily godly. And that's why their outcomes then are full of pain and fear and disappointment and emptiness. And some people don't realize that their outcome is going to come about from their action. And they just accidentally find themselves in this place. This is a biggie about our outcomes and about godly outcomes or ungodly outcomes. In James, half-brother of Jesus, chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, he writes this. He says, what is causing the quarrels and fights amongst you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You know, me and Tommy, we lived a life where when I was growing up in the East End, and when he was growing up in the East End, look, before me, because he's 68, amen. He looks older than me, he's older than me. But he looks good for 68, man, I can't believe it. Amen. But we grew up wanting to live like footballers without having any skill or talent. And we lived that lifestyle for a while with loads of money and going into clubs and doing this and notoriety and this and that and, you know, entourage and all that stuff. But you never keep it, right? We had the money, but then eventually it just went down the plug hole. It went up our veins. It went up our noses. It went out the window. Tommy's still got some buried, I'm sure. But these outcomes because of an ungodly desire. Huh? You do all sorts of stuff to get what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight, wage war to take it away from you. You lie, you cheat, you steal. Yet you don't have what you don't want because you don't ask God for it. It's very simple. There's a simple way of getting your outcomes. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You can pray and say, God, make me rich, and God won't make you rich because being rich shouldn't be an end in itself. Are you with me? Make me famous. God ain't going to do that because it's an ungodly desire. You only want what will give you pleasure. I mean, if you know, there's lots of people that buy things they don't need to impress people they don't have with money they ain't got. Huh? They get in debt with a credit card, or they have these loans off loan sharks that pay 1,000% interest and do this and do that just to meet a need right now. They'll lie and they'll steal and they'll do whatever it is to satisfy their lust. They'll make any promise to any woman to satisfy their lust, even though they know that the outcome is going to be very dark. It's not going to work out good. Are you with me? Pleasure. Play now, pay later. Pay now, play later. They're the only two options. Huh? So my question is to you at the moment, how much of what you would consider your failures or your problems, how many of you have ever had some failures or problems in your life that you wish you'd never ever seen happen? You've made a mistake, you've done something wrong, you didn't do what you should have done, or you've done what you shouldn't have done. Let me see your hands. See how many honest people are in the sight of God in this place right now, who knows all things, sees all things, and judges us according to it. How many of us have got some outcomes that we wish that we could change? Let me see your hands, right? Praise God, we're in the house of the Lord, amen. So how many of them do you think can be traced back to faulty desires or goals? You had a desire or a goal that was faulty and you reached it and here you are. So here we are. You know the people that go to hell for eternity are people that always wanted to go there? They're going to be there because they wanted to be there. They're going to be in darkness, which is the absence of light. They're going to be in death eternal, which is the absence of life, just because they chose that route. And that outcome was what came to them. Heavy stuff. Probably all of our faults, failings, and problems are down to 40 aims that we had. So what areas of our lives can we see these things take place? There are many different areas of our lives where the results or consequences of our actions cause us challenges. I'm going to look at three: relationships, prosperity, and then, because we're in church, ministry. Relationships are very important because these include everything that we do. How many of you know that everything revolves around relationships? Huh? Everything revolves around relationships. You ever heard the term, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know? Huh? How many of you know you can get into a place because you know the boss, the coach, the doorkeeper? Huh? Right? How many times you gone into a club because you knew the fellow on the door? Are you with me? Know the bouncer on the door. We know the security. All right, pal, come in. Bang. It don't matter if I'm a gangster, a butcher, a baker, or a lawyer. If the lawyer don't know, he has to pay. If I know him, I'll get in. Sometimes that happens in life. It's relationships. Are you with me? Are very key. And these relationships include towards God. What's your relationship like with God? Do you do Christian stuff, or do you know God? Because many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will say, nice one, but I don't know you. Woo! Didn't we go and tick a box in church? Didn't we turn up every now and again? Didn't we say we love Jesus? I believe in God. Well, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Some people that say they believe in God, it just means that your faith level, it's just been raised from human to demon. But you ain't at saint level yet, because a saint puts their belief into practice and actually obeys the word of God and puts it into practice and lives in the way that Jesus said to live. Other than that, you've got demonic faith. Woo, that's heavy, huh? Someone sitting at home right now turning to someone saying, did he just say that? Is that theological? Well, it's in the Bible. Are you with me? What about towards other people? How's your relationship towards other people? Do you love your enemy? Do you love your neighbor? Sometimes they're the same. Especially if they play loud music or park in your parking space. Hello. Huh? What about yourself? Do you love yourself? How many times over the past year have you said, I hate myself? How many times in your lifetime have you said, I hate myself? How many times have you looked in the mirror and said, I hate my nose? I hate my ears? I hate my legs? Huh? That's a relationship. There's a breakdown. There's an outcome. You're at that place for a reason. Problem with this is that these relationships don't always work out as well as we'd like, and that's hard because everything rises and falls on relationships. God is a relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's called the Trinity. You won't find that word in the Bible, but it's a description of a reality. Some people say that, you know, we serve three gods. We don't serve three gods, but they have a faulty concept of what it means to have one and one and one. They think about adding. But how many of you know the Son doesn't add anything to the Father, and the Spirit don't add anything to the Son, because none of them have got anything missing? They're all whole one. So how do you get three ones making one? You don't get one plus one plus one. That equals three, and that's how lots of people think. But what they do is, and what relationships do, when you've actually put the right input into them, the outcome will be the right outcome. You have one times one times one equals what? There's a relational enhancement that takes place with other people. The Bible says that two become one when they get married. The problem is that lots of people think that they're half, and when I find the right person, they're going to complete me. When I find my woman, she's going to complete my life. When I find the man of God, and it's all about have first, huh? When I have something, I can do something, then I'll be something. And that's worldly mentality. It's a wrong mentality. Are you with me? When I have a job, when I have a spouse, when I have a partner, when I have a house, when I have a car, when I have some money, then I'm going to be able to do the things I want, and then I'm going to be able to become the thing I want to become. But how many of you know God talks about things different than that? God is the opposite of that. He says, I want you to be someone, then do something, then you'll have what it is that you want at the end of it. But the relationships are not based upon what you have or what you do. They're based upon who you are. And when you get the truth of that, woo, you're set free, man. Do you get this? Huh? Christianity is a relationship. Life comes about through relationships. Are you with me? You need a man and a woman to bring forth a baby. And who you know is more important than what you know. What about prosperity? Man, there's been a lot of madness about prosperity. A lot of people don't understand prosperity. Prosperity has actually been hijacked a little bit, especially in Christian circles. But there's nothing wrong with being prosperous. A friend of mine said, only rich middle-class Christians can say that Christianity, that Jesus only came to set you free from just spiritual sin. He also came to set you free from natural stuff as well. Are you with me? He came to set you free from darkness, depression, addiction. He came to set you free from that stuff. Prosperity is something that Jesus wants us to have whenever possible. There's nothing particularly holy about poverty. Let me tell you, I've been poor. I weren't more holy. The only thing that felt holy was my pockets. Maybe there was a hole in my bank account. Maybe my bank account was holy. I'd put things in it and then they'd be gone. Huh? There's nothing really holy about poverty. But prosperity should never be an end in itself. But prosperity don't just mean being rich. Some people think that prosperity means being rich, that they can have a Lambo, huh? Mansion, cinema room, then I'm prosperous. No. Prosperity means having a little bit more than you need. You know, statistics will show that if you have, how many of you have got a pound somewhere? One pound, just 1 pound. You got it in your pocket, might be in the dashboard of your car, might be in a bank account or a savings account, and you're like, you dismiss it. It's just a pound, it's nothing. Do you know if you've got 1 pound, that you are richer, more prosperous than 95% of the world's population? So 1 pound puts you in the top 5%. Now the millionaires and billionaires are in the top 0.5%. The rest of it is just people just getting by with a little bit more than they need. 95% of the world's population don't have enough. That's poverty. But Jesus wants us to be a little bit prosperous. It means just having a little bit more than you need in both quality and quantity. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Matthew 6:33, check this out. Something many people miss about prosperity. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. But you have to understand, many people have the idea that God should take care of their spiritual needs and then they should take care of their own natural needs. But that's not what Jesus said. And you get people that are running around trying to get some money, get a job, get a this, get a that, making it happen themselves, working hard. Nothing wrong with working hard, but watch this. Jesus, you take care of my spirituality. I'm going to take care of my natural stuff. But Jesus flips it. He said, no. He said, you take care of your spiritual stuff. He said, and I'll take care of your natural stuff. What does that mean? That means that you have to take care of your own conduct. You have to pray. You have to ask. You have to read. You have to learn. You have to know. You have to change. You have to grow. You have to get in line with God. And then Jesus promises that he'll take care of your food. You ain't going to go hungry. I don't see too many hungry, skinny people in this place. Are you with me? Huh? There's no one starving in here. Right? You've all got clothes on your back. There's no one coming in dressed in rags with, you know, bits of old tarpaulin around them. He said, I'll take care of your clothing. Huh? Your food, your drink. We all have drink. He'll take care of that stuff. He'll take care of your needs. You've got to take care of your spiritual stuff. Stop abdicating your authority in this thing. Stop using an excuse. Stop blaming someone else. and start taking care of God's business. And when you take care of God's business, what's he going to do with your business? He's going to take care of your business. Then you're going to start to become prosperous in your soul, in your thinking, in your mindset, in your emotions. How many of you know, most of you got messed up emotions? Are you with me? Huh? Most of us have got messed up emotions. How many of you have ever had messed up emotions? Are you with me? What about mindsets? Stinking thinking. Hello. Negativity. Madness. Right? And then what about our actions? Do we always live right? Take care of your business and God, take care of God's business in your life and God will take care of his business in your life. Are you with me? The ministry. There's a lot of misconceptions about this word ministry. A lot of people want to get into ministry or they run from ministry or they think that ministry is for a certain group of people. But ministry in the New Testament speaks about our service to God. It's two Greek words that speak about ministry and they're diakoneo and doulos. They're both words that describe common house servants. People that take out the trash, that do the washing, do the laundry. People that clean the rooms. People that are doorkeepers. People that answer the phone. It's people that just serve the master. That's all it is. So technically, that means that every single person who's a Christian is a minister. Everyone. Because all of our lives are meant to be in service to God. Does that make sense? Huh? The misconception comes between people like me and people that come to church. They think that I'm a minister and they're not. But then what that means is that they come to be entertained, they come to be spoken to, they come to be helped, and I have to do it. And then the only way they can get helped is if someone like me does it. But then where's God in that, man? Look at what the Bible says about that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, and he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Not everyone's going to do this. Some people that Jesus chooses, because these are what's called the gift of the Son, the gifts of the Son. Jesus chooses these people to do this. And then what do they do? It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In another translation, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Ministry. But in all of these things, relationships, prosperity, ministry, in all of these things, we have outcomes, results and consequences of decisions that we've made. How many outcomes are you living in right now that you wish you could change? Mindsets, attitudes, actions. So that brings us on to the last one, number three. Here are some simple changes that you can make to transform the outcomes you're currently facing. You probably heard it said, how many of you heard this before? You can't get something for nothing. Huh? You can't get something for nothing. If I was to take you outside right now and say there's a white Audi parked outside, you can have it. You're going to look at me and say, shut up. Nah, no way. Huh? There's no way you're going to give me that Audi. Well, I would because it ain't mine. I don't know whose it is. But if you want it, I'm just, you know. Because you can't get something for nothing. Amen? We know that. Most things you can't get for nothing, except one thing. You know what that is? Salvation. Salvation is the one thing that you get for nothing. Because it don't matter what you bring to the equation, it's worth nothing. You can be someone that knows the Bible inside out, it means nothing. You can be someone that fasts all your life, it means nothing. Without Jesus Christ, you can't get it. Without his grace, you're not able. Unless you use faith, you're not able. I can go to America without a passport, and I can be rich, I can be famous, I can be a celebrity, and I've just got out of there. And I can go to America without a passport and say, let me in. They say, where's your passport? I say, I haven't got one. But I'm a celebrity. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Don't you recognize me? I'm rich. I got a Rolly, Rolly, Rolly. Huh? I got a jacket on. You know what I mean? Huh? Man, that scared me. It was like a creeping musical assassin just came up. It's like a musical ninja just came up. I think they're trying to tell me, shut up, Pastor, it's nearly time to finish. But with salvation, you give God your wrongs, you get his rights. You don't bring nothing to the table, but you leave with everything. I can never work out why people are not Christians. You don't have to do nothing. You're not giving up anything. You give up something you want. You want to go to hell? You don't give up something you don't want. You get rid of it. Are you with me? When I got saved, I got rid of destruction and addiction. I didn't give it up. Are you mad? You don't have to give up anything good to go to heaven. You just have to give up bad things to stop going to hell. There are three areas of giving: your time, your talent, and your treasure. Your time is what you put in, your talent is what you bring to the table, your treasure is what you invest. And you have to understand that these things are not interchangeable. You can't give time and expect treasure as an outcome. You can't give talent and expect time as an outcome. If you give time, you're going to get time back. If you give talent, you're going to get talent back. If you give treasure, you're going to get treasure back. Because whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. Huh? Here's some keys to help transform your outcome. Are you ready? Are you ready? Key number one. I mean, if you want to transform an outcome. Because in a year from now, you'd wish you'd have done it today. If you come back in a year's time and you say, Pastor, I've got this problem, I'm going to look back and say, a year ago, did you put these things into practice? And if you say no, I'm going to look at you like you're a donut. So why not, man? And then you're going to have to do it again. And you've wasted a year. Don't waste time. Huh? Five keys. Are you ready? Play some of that dung, 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 dung. Try and create a bit of atmosphere now. Amen. We've been in this church all morning, some of us. Some of you have just come for this one service. I might be a white guy, but how many of you know white guys can jump, we can dance, and we can preach? Can someone give me an amen? Dun, 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 dun. Key number one. Key number one to change your outcome. Key number one. Dun, 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 dun. Key number one. Create your goal. You got to create a goal. You got to create an outcome that you want to enjoy. You got to make sure that you put in a destination, that you put in an aim, that you have a target for the future, somewhere that you want to be, something that you want to become. You got to put that in. Put in your destination. Set your destination. You'll be surprised how many people have not got a set destination. They haven't got a set aim. Therefore, wherever it is that they go, that's where you want it to be. If you wanted to be without, it's because you, if you're without, it's because you wanted to be without. If you ain't got a degree, it's because you wanted to have no degree. If you're not in the team, it's because you didn't want to get in the team. If you ain't got that job, it's because you didn't set yourself a target. Set yourself that goal. Be specific. And then you'll start with the end in mind. Then it's like setting a destination in a sat nav. Then you'll start to become open to the instructions that are going to get you there. Huh? Number two. Well. Ha. Number one, create your goal. Number two. I said number two. What number?
Two.
Focus on what you can do or have to invest in your goal. See, the problem is that many people, they concentrate on what they don't have, what they ain't got. And then they get poor me syndrome. Then it becomes someone else's fault, someone else's problem. Then it becomes, you know, I was dropped on my head when I was a baby. I didn't have any money to invest. I ain't got the skill or the talent. I didn't have that raw natural talent to become an Olympic athlete. Neither did many of the Olympic athletes. But what they did have was a pair of legs and a pair of lungs and maybe a little pair of shorts and maybe a little, listen, you don't have to have the Olympic hydrotherapy pool, because because a lot of the people that run the races are from Somalia and Ethiopia, and all they had was a pair of legs. Maybe no training shoes, but they just had long distances to run, and they set their target that one day I'm going to be the world champion. One day I'm going to be the world record holder. One day I'm going to do this. And then they just started running. Hallelujah. They just started running. So take what you do have and invest it into where you want to get. Stop moaning about what you don't have, what you ain't got. Everyone can see that. Number three, set your timeline milestones. What do I mean by that? Because that sounds really good. That sounds good. Set your timeline milestones. It means that sometimes you set a target that I want to be the world champion. I want to play in the England team. I want to do this. I want to do that. But then the size of it overwhelms you and you lose track of it as you go along. You have to measure it. Are you with me? Break it down into small chunks. You want to write a book, huh? You want to make a record. You want to do this, you want to do that. You want to run 10 miles, you want to run a marathon. You're not going to do it immediately. There has to be timeline. There has to be milestones. For example, how many of you want to get fit in 2018? Let me see your hands. You want to get fit. I'm talking about fit. You want a six-pack back. Come on now. You want to take the bubble wrap off. You want to be able to run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Come on now. Huh? You want to fit in that dress. You want to get out of wearing black. You love to wear pink, but pink shows everything. Black covers a multitude of sin. Hello. 2018, we want to get in bright colors. We want to wear skinny jeans. We want to wear skirts. Some of the men said amen to that. That worries me. Huh? But getting fit is not, it's overwhelming. Break it down. It's called eating the elephant. Break it down into bite-sized chunks. Amen. Say, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week. This week, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week. Twice this week. And then next week, go twice again. Then a week after that, go twice again. Then you might increase it to three times, and you might end up in a year's time by going four times a week. But you've done it for a year. You've done 100+ gym sessions. But if you start off by thinking, I'm going to do 100+ gym sessions, you're going to fail. So just do the two. Say, I'm going to save this amount this month. Then in a year's time or 2 years' time, you've got a deposit for a house. But you say, I'm going to get the deposit for a house, and it's thousands of pounds, and it's too much for you. Are you with me? Huh? So set your timeline milestones. Huh? Most people don't get or see what they want in the end because they make it look too big at the beginning. Number four, identify the support you'll need. The fact is, we can't do it alone, man. There's no one does things alone. You can run good, but you'll run better with a coach. Are you with me? You can look good, but you look better when your wife is mithering you about your waist size. Hello, Andy. Andy was thin till he married Erica. Then he started getting fat because he thought he had his prize. Because that's what men do. We look good until we get the woman of our dreams, and then we let it all go. And then it needs the woman to come back and start livening us up. I didn't marry no fat boy. Are you with me? I knew that I was going to take it a little bit easy when my wife started ironing my shirts over a wok. Huh? Six pack, not bubble wrap, baby. But we need people around us. That's why we come to church. That's why we get around fellow believers. That's why we ask someone else to come in and help us. That's why you go to a doctor when you're sick. Dentist when you got toothache. It's rare that people are magically going to be able to read your mind. These people that are going to help you. And sometimes we walk through life with a face like a smacked... smack. Expecting everyone to read our need. so that then magically they'll come and they'll say, oh, look at such and such. Ooh, they have a need. Let me help them with my talent. Ask them. Get around them. Get into the right environment. Get around the right people. If you're struggling in the gym, get around someone that's going to help you out who's fitter than you. Attach yourself to someone who's doing what it is that you want to be doing and then learn from them. Simple. Last one. Keep everything lined up with God's will. Remember what we said about 40 aims and goals that were ungodly that end up with an outcome that doesn't really help you out in the long run? When you're lined up with God's will, you don't just do what you want, but what God wants. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 through 37 says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What good is it if you're rich and famous and powerful, but you end up in hell? You lose everything because you can't take it with you. Amen. I heard a story once of a guy who was rich and famous, and he was full of his own self. He thought that he was indestructible, he was invincible, and that he could take his riches away with him. His wife said, you can't take them with you. You need to do some good now. He said, I'll take everything with me when I go. I'm leaving nothing behind. So in his will, when he died, it said that his wife had to put all of his money into the grave with him when he went. And then it signed off at the end, ha, 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 told you. I'd take it all with me. So at his funeral, his wife was sitting there with a big smile on her face. And her friend said to her, how comes you're smiling? He took everything. You saw his will. She said, did you do what he said and put everything, all of his money, in the grave with him when he died? And his wife said, yes. She said, and if he can cash the check, then he can keep it. The best outcome is where you're in God's perfect will, seeing what he wanted for you to become, actually becoming a reality, being someone of dignity, someone with belonging, someone with destiny, someone that makes an impact in other people's lives for good, someone that your skill and your talent is not just for you because you can't take it when you're gone, but there's a legacy, there's an echo. There's something that you leave behind, invested in someone else's life. But to see the right outcome, you've got to make the right input, the right investment. And that begins right now. And then the outcomes and consequences of our life will overflow to such a degree that the abundant goodness that we leave behind us, that we have around us, will bless not only us, but others around us as well. Let's pray for that. Should we pray? Hallelujah. Father, in this place, there are people in this place, God, that are at points in their lives right now that they wish could change. Well, today is the day. Lord, I pray that you would open up our minds and our hearts and our vision to the future that you want for us. Because it's within reach, it's within touching distance. My God, I pray that you would touch our hearts, help us, bless us. In Jesus' name. Just stand to your feet a minute. How many of you believe that God can move right now? You know, if you have a maths equation and you get the equation wrong, and you add 2 and 2 and it makes 5. You add 2 and 2, it makes 7. You add 2 and 2, it makes 3. You add 2, and you can do that for weeks and months, right? But then one day you add 2 and 2 and it makes 4. You become right immediately. And then you can move on to the next equation. Getting things right in the Spirit of God means that the change comes immediately. In the twinkling of an eye. You start on a new course in a new direction. It's like putting a new destination in your sat nav. It readjusts, it removes, it changes, it recalibrates. That can happen right now. I don't know about you, but there's some people in this place that you want a little bit of recalibration in your life. What I want you to do is very quickly, 2 minutes, we're going to sing one song. Just come out and just pray. Just leave something here. Just make a decision. Make this altar. Come to this altar and say, God, come here. Wait. Don't just come and stand here, sing songs and, you know, expect something to happen. Come, just as if you were coming and bringing something. And bring a decision that I want to change. Be specific. I want to see this outcome. I want to be here in the future. Lord God, I give it to you. Show me the people that you need to put around me. Show me what I can invest. Put these keys in place. Lay it down. Say, in the name of Jesus, amen. Then go back to your seat. Then it begins. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? As we sing, you come and you do this right now. Just try it out. I guarantee something's going to shift in your life. Guarantee something's going to shift in your life.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.